The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It's Friday, January 13th, 2023, season 18, episode number 107. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And today we get you ready. Cowboys versus Bucks, beginning of the playoffs. Hopefully not the end of the playoffs, but we'll get you ready for that game, let you know what we're thinking. Also let you know,
I'll make sure to capture that moment. I'll have my phone ready to capture you and Nick getting emotional.
If
it happens.
I have already.
First
of all, we're taking an off-air conversation
yes.
onto the air. Nick and I were talking about, like, if the Cowboys actually get on a magical run and should get to a Super Bowl, the question was, would we cry? And I told Nick, like, yeah, I thought about it, and I do think I would probably shed a tear.
I'll have my phone ready.
You don't need to capture that.
Capture the moment.
We're good.
Once in a lifetime.
You'll be so overwhelmed with all the things that you have to do to get ready for that game.
Yeah.
You'll be crying for that reason.
That is a true statement from what I hear. Like my colleagues around the league, who've experienced it.
Oh, yeah.
From what I hear,
that's why it takes 2 weeks to go play that game.
Right, exactly.
Because all the things you have to do.
There's a lot to do, but trust me, I will be happy to take on that task.
Yeah.
Or those tasks, because we have
never
experienced that.
Well, I already get emotional. Every year when there is like a team that wins the Super Bowl and they have like some story like behind a player or a coach, and they're like super emotional just watching them on my couch, of course, getting emotional too. So,
but you know, honestly, part of why I would be so excited would be because, and I really and truly believe this is not me kind of pumping you guys up, but I think I have the best media team in the country. And I think putting the creativity of this team to work on that kind of stage where you can tell those kinds of stories, I think you guys would do some phenomenal work, and we've never had an opportunity to really do that. And that's where I'm just like, man, I would love to see this group right here, put together some content around a Super Bowl, around even a championship game. I think it would be phenomenal.
That's why you do it. I mean, that's why the players play, so they can go and play in that game, but that's why we do what we do, so you can experience all of that and the ride with them. And we haven't done that. We haven't been able to.
I'm
so who knows if
talking
will.
About it. I mean, hope.
Let's
just. It's like that lottery ticket. Like, oh man, if only I could win the lottery.
Baby steps, though, and it starts this week because this
no
is
doubt.
Also something we've never seen. It's been 30 years. I mean, I remember. It was probably my favorite game of all time. You know, Brian just said it that the super winning the Super Bowl. I mean, getting to the Super Bowl was almost more enjoyable than winning it. But my favorite game of all time for the Cowboys is when they beat the 49ers in 1992 for the NFC Championship game, which is the last time they've won a road game in the playoffs. Mm.
I was at the game. I was at Candlestick Park, and I was working. It was my first year of scouting, and I was sitting in the box with San Francisco fans. John Dorsey, former general manager.
You were scouting with Green Bay at this time.
I was scouting my first year with Green Bay, and John Dorsey and I are out at the East-West game out in Palo Alto, California. Dorsey goes, hey, man, I got two buddies. I got buddies that have a box here for a Candlestick for this game. You interested? I'm like, man, I'm from Dallas. Yeah, I got to go, right?
Yeah.
So I sat there, had all my Green Bay gear and all that. And these fans from San Francisco were going in on Dallas. They were going in on people from Dallas. They were saying all – and I sat there the whole game. When he caught that ball and took off running
– Alvin Harper.
I started in. I go, run, 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 run. And everybody turned and looked at me, and I said, you MFers, have been all talking about Dallas all day and what a terrible city it is. I'm from Dallas, and John Dorsey looked at me and goes, time to go, Brian.
Let's go.
And they were not expecting that because you had your Green Bay gear.
I did. I had on my Green Bay gear, and when I was quiet the whole game, and when he caught that ball, I started screaming. And he, you know, it turned out well. And literally, John looked at me, and he says, we got to go. And I said, fine. And I didn't even thank the people I sat in the box with. The whole game, it was just constant. Dallas is this, and Dallas, can you believe this about, you know? And I just, as a guy growing up, season tickets for 20 years, I'd had enough. I'd had enough of these fans, you know?
I thought, you know, that to me is my number one play of all time, the Alvin Harper, because the 49ers had come back in the game. They cut it to four. The crowd's going nuts. It's 4 minutes to go. It's like 4 minute offense. What do you do with 4 minute offense? Here it is. And I mean, it's Summerall and Madden. They're like, this is a championship game. This
chopped
is
chopped up field.
Super Bowl. Let's be
serious. It's 4 minutes to go. You're on the 20 yard line. What do you do? And you throw. You go back to pass and you throw it to Alvin Harper on a 20 yard slant, and he takes off for 70 yards, and it's like, You go right at him, you know, and that's the epitome of like trying to take this game over and playing to go win a trip to the Super Bowl.
It reminded me because San Francisco had given me heartache before in 81 with the catch, Dwight Clark, because that was a pretty good Cowboy team that, you know, I mean, if you remember how that game ended, Drew Pearson gets horse collared before there was horse collaring. I mean, if he breaks free, Dallas is going to win that game. But everybody just remembers the catch. And you talk about crying and getting emotional. When that game was over, I sat in there in my friend's apartment, and like tears were running down. I'm like, man, what just happened? What just happened? You know, and that's the kind of thing these fans, I mean, Cowboy fans haven't experienced, I mean, they've experienced the heartache. But, you know, to experience the joy of a 92 game or something like that, or a Super Bowl win or something, it really, really is amazing.
And that's the part where, you know, we talk about how emotional we'll be. There are a lot of people out there listening right now that if you're listening to the break, a lot of you guys are listening to us in June, right? You're still listening to our show every week.
Yeah.
And those fans talk about emotional because they're the ones that have had to listen to all the criticism and they're the ones that are saying, oh, my team's going to be good this year, my team's going all the way, and then get disappointed, right? So for them, it's going to be that same sort of emotional release of finally. But, you know, they got a lot to do to get there. And I guess let's talk about that. Let's start talking first about Xavier Rhodes. He's obviously, the Cowboys picked him up last week.
Yeah.
How much is he going to be able to, like, I heard somebody say yesterday, you don't pick up a player like that for him to sit on your practice squad. You pick him up because you think you can use him. Is he going to be able to be used this weekend, and how do you think they'll use him?
I think he's going to play. I mean, I don't know if he'll be the starter on the other side or Deron Bland will be, and Deron Bland's not on the injury report, so that's a good sign, not even on the injury report from the injury from last week. But I think Rhodes will play a lot, and, you know, one thing, and I'll get into a story in the locker room a little bit. I'll let Brian kind of talk a little bit more about him and what he might be able to do. But I think that he's definitely pretty comfortable in this situation right now.
You got a thought on this one?
No, I just got I liked his input when he was talking to the media. Just his attitude, you know, he keeps talking about being ready to go. And so far, the guys that they have brought in have seemed to be ready to go. So that's the upside, or at least a positive sign that I'm like, okay, maybe he can be similar to a guy like T.Y. that came in here and was plugged in right away and effective.
Fresh,
fresh body. And he says he's ready to go whenever. And so physically, he seems to be there. So I'm excited to see what he can bring once he's put in there.
I was listening to Nick on the radio on 105.3 this morning driving in, and you said something I thought was really good. I just need him to be good one time, you know? I just need him. I mean, I need him to, you know, I need him to find a way to be a savvy veteran, much like what you said about T.Y. Hilton. What was T.Y. Hilton's first impression that we got of him?
52.
It was a fourth down pass interference draw play, and then a huge play down the sidelines. That was our impression of him right off the jump. A guy like, he hadn't played all year, and now he's playing in a meaningful game and helping you win the game. And so to me, that's all you have. That's, I mean, it's sad that it's got to the point where – Kelvin Joseph is not as good as Deron Bland. It's sad that that happened, you know? And but you have to – there the one thing this team has done a great job of this year, I think, of the coaching staff, is if somebody's not good enough, they don't keep playing him. Mm-hmm. You know, they realize, hey, they're throwing everything they can at this cornerback spot and hoping. You know, Xavier Rhodes has the length, he has the toughness, he has the veteran intellect that they need. He just can't run as well as he once did. And so if you play on guts and guile and toughness and everything else, that's what you're going to probably get from Xavier Woods in this game. Or Xavier Rhodes, excuse me, yeah.
So let me ask you this. If what he has is size, physicality,
yeah.
And what we saw in that last game
walk
against Tampa Bay,
yeah.
Which is they're going to try to challenge your corners on the perimeter with the run game and their ability to tackle.
Right.
Does he then become an asset to you if they're doing if that is the game plan they're trying to employ? Does he become an asset?
I feel like that they're better. I feel like that the Cowboys are better now playing perimeter defense just because the corners are different. It doesn't help you covering. You know, Anthony Brown could retreat. Diggs can retreat. You know, in a playoff game, I just love to see Diggs just like, you know what, I'm not going to retreat. I saw what happened to me last time we played these guys. I need to play with force. I need to play forward. I need to make that ball go back inside to Van Der Esch and those guys, you know, or Wilson. I need to make this ball, you know, I need to, you know, make sure that my force doesn't give them reason to capture the corner. I think this team plays better perimeter defense because you got guys that are willing to do that. Bland's willing to do that. Wright is willing to do that. Wright doesn't always cover, but Wright will at least step up. You know, and that's all you need. You don't need somebody retreating at the point. They're going to challenge Diggs in this game because what they figure out is if they can run the ball at Diggs and get him wore down, having to deal with that, he's not going to be able to cover as well. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's like when you run the ball successfully on offense, it wears pass rushers down. Mm-hmm. Look at Micah Parsons. You know, he gets wore down when he has to continue to deal with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. But I hope that Diggs remembers what happened in week one and then makes that decision to come and try and help.
Let's take our first break. When we come back, I have some questions for you guys about the matchups. We'll talk about that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender, credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
It's playoff week and the boys need you. Cowboys Nation, show your team pride like Derek and Amber are doing. Support this postseason with the best gear in the league. Head to the nearest pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the Break Life in SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by blockchain.com. All right, let's get into some matchup questions and some game-type questions. Here's my first question for you guys. Which is more important for the Cowboys to fix? They've been having some issues with both of these things if they're going to win against Tampa Bay. Run defense or rushing offense?
Need him to run the ball. I need him to run the ball. I need to find ways to keep drives going. I need to find a way to stay ahead of the chains. Quarterback plays so much better when they're playing ahead of the chains. Offensive coordinator gets in some rhythm. You know, Tampa's not a great running team. They're going to try. And they probably feel like they have confidence that they can. I kind of feel like you're a little bit better prepared for that, to play the run defense with Vander Esch back, Hankins. They didn't see Hankins the first time around. And they're dealing with some issues at center. Tampa Bay with Jensen. They don't know if Jensen's going to play in this game, and their other guys are nicked up too as well. So I would kind of keep an eye on that, but I feel like if you let me run the football, my offense is going to be able to move the ball and score points.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, who do you want on 3rd and 9? I mean, what makes you feel better? Dak completing a 3rd and 9 or Tom Brady completing a 3rd and 9? And I think it would be Tom Brady. So to me, if you stop their run, you still got to deal with them, which, yeah, you can rush the passer on them, but you still got to deal with him, as opposed to if you're in 3rd and 9 situations, I don't like that. I don't like the way they play defense to try to disguise things for Dak. I think you have to run the football. I think that I agree with Brian, running ball.
Well, were you asking defensively?
I'm saying both. Like,
you had to fix one.
What's more important, for the Cowboys to fix their rushing offense so they run the ball better, or for them to fix their rush defense, they can stop Tampa Bay from running the ball?
I would say stop Tampa Bay. But more than the running the run defense, I would like them to be able to rush the passer a lot better, get back to pressuring the passer. Because even though they've been struggling with stopping the run all year long, I feel that they were a lot more successful when they did find a way to get to the quarterback, and that kind of slowly started fading away, and they started dropping down on both things. Like, now you don't have a line that's rushing the passer, and now you don't have a line that's being able to stop the run either. So if they're able to just kind of get back into pressuring the quarterback, Micah Parsons just being the problem for Tom Brady, I think that automatically, quote unquote, they should play a better game defensively, and therefore also help your offense to get back, hopefully, to what they can be.
Yeah, if you flipped the question and told me, would you rather have pass rush or run offense, I'm going to take pass rush. Because to me, I don't think Tampa can run the ball. Their passing game, they're first in the league in attempts. They're first in the league in yards. You know, they don't score points. If you told me I could get after them and affect the game one way, give me my pass rush. Because if Tampa's not going to run the ball, I'm going to need to stop them throwing the ball.
But go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but I think this is a chicken and egg kind of thing. I actually think their ability to rush the passer starts with, can you stop the run?
Yeah.
And I think what we saw earlier in the season.
But this team throws the ball. They abandon the run.
Yeah, but I get my point is,
I mean,
though,
people, they don't even try.
My point is, though, in games where the Cowboys have lost this year, and specifically games where typically it goes hand in hand,
right,
when they haven't been able to stop the run, then what ends up happening is, because they can't stop the run, they kind of get worn down, they get a little frustrated, and then their pass rush slows down, and then they're not getting the pass rush. Yeah. To me, if you can stop the run, and they talk about it all the time, you earn the right to rush the passer. Earning the right to rush the passer is about stopping the run. Once you stop the run and you make the other team one-dimensional, now you have a chance to just let loose and
so
go get the quarterback.
How was they're comfortable earlier this year, because I mean, every time after every show, we would say if one thing that the defense needs to fix is the run, stopping the run. So what's the difference?
My thing is, I think as the season wore on, teams started realizing if you just don't abandon your run. Like, if you just stick with your run, this team will give up yards in the running game. And what we started to see is, as the season went on, more teams started saying, you know what? Even though we're down, we're not going to get away from the run. We're going to keep running the ball. And I think that's how the Green Bay game played out. Like, they just kept running the ball.
Kept running the ball.
They kept running, and they didn't get out of it. They were like, we might be down. We're going to keep running the ball. Yeah. And they got right back in the game. And so I think what happened is teams realized this team is more concerned with getting after the passer. And if you stick to the run and you keep pounding at them, eventually it's going to hit, and eventually it's going to work, right? And I think if they want to be able to be good rushing the passer, it starts with, can you stop the run and force a team to get so frustrated to where they then start feel like they got to throw, and then you got
to. I just feel like by doing that, at the end of the day, you kind of get neither. You're still having them run on you, like run the ball on you, but then also not getting to the quarterback.
But not if you stop the run. That's the point. If you're dedicated to stopping the run, then as the game wears on, the hope is as you stop the run, eventually they get away from it, and then they become one-dimensional. And when you know that that's what they're doing, I'll put this team up against any team going to get the quarterback.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing about this team, though, in Tampa. They give up on the run. They give up. So you're immediately, from the word go, they're one-dimensional. So, yeah, you know, if you told me, getting after, if you said, hey, get after the passer, yes, yeah, I've watched enough games. We've all watched this quarterback play. Super Bowls, things like that. When he has grass stains on that jersey of his, it's usually a bad day for them. Because the more you hit him, the more it affects him. He's 45 years old. Just keep hitting him. You know, that's the idea in this game.
Brian, earlier this week you said you were going to steal a question from Derek and use it on the radio. Did you do that?
I did.
Okay. So I don't mind stealing something that was presented to me today. Did you hear on the 105.3? Really, really good question. Yeah. And I don't know.
We used it yesterday on our show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They stole it from y'all?
I think they did. Yeah.
That's fine. Scenario. And they asked McCarthy this too, which he didn't play along. Of course not. You know, but you're up six and Brady has the ball at the 20-yard line. Their own 20, got to go 80 yards to win the game with 3 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. Or you're down six. You've got the ball at the 20-yard line, and Dak, they got the ball, and they got to go win the game. Which scenario do you like the best?
It's got to be Dak has the ball. Because you give 3 minutes to Brady. I've seen Brady do it a minute and a half.
Okay.
You give him 3 minutes.
In that week one game, what did he do? Minute seven?
Yeah, I ain't trusting that. But,
yeah. 2 years
like,
ago.
He's one of the best in the league. Yeah. You talk about giving him ball at the end of the game. Now, the only thing that I do like about that, let's say it is 4 minutes. The way I look at that is, maybe he scores in a minute and a half, and Dak gets the ball with 2 minutes left, and all he needs is a field goal, right? Maybe that works. No, I don't know.
He's not going to. But, you know,
but
he's
I don't.
Do that.
I don't love the idea. I was telling you guys upstairs, I don't love the idea of a close game. If it's a close game,
I don't either. But
I don't feel like I don't feel confident in the fact that most any team in the NFL, if you're playing a close game against Tom Brady, good luck with that. I just don't. I don't. I'm never going to bet against that because I've seen too many times when that 28-3 lead ain't safe.
Yeah, right.
I just don't trust that. You know.
No. I took defense though. Give me the lead.
You did?
Just give me the lead. Yep. Right. I don't like it. I said it. That's what I said. Like, there are no fingernails. You know, you will be nervous as hell. But no.
The one thing you might be confident is when the game turns into that. We've seen Dak move the ball. Now we've also seen interceptions and stuff before the half.
Yeah.
And things like that. But I would be comfortable with Dak playing in that type of a setting where it's like, I got to move the ball. I don't have time to think. I just keep throwing the ball, you know, and it works out. The other guy, you just know when you're on that sideline and it's, all right, well, you know, field goal's good and, you know, the score. And then you're like, okay, he's got a minute 40, one timeout. And all he needs is a field goal.
And you see that look on his face. They always show him on the sideline, that look on his face like, oh, yeah, I got him.
Yeah, it's like the worst. Remember the first time, the 2 years ago, what did he do? He kept throwing the ball out of bounds on purpose just to keep eating the clock up till you had nothing left.
All right.
That's how he manipulates things.
Yeah.
That's the problem you have when you play him and Rodgers and guys like that. They're thinking, wait, Manning, that 51-48 game that they had in down. Yeah. These quarterbacks are thinking, okay, I'm going to milk this clock. And he just kept throwing it out of bounds, you know, just to get time off the clock. And then all of a sudden, you're kicking a field goal and you're going home unhappy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to play these guys, even if as old as that guy is. Because they got playmakers on the outside, and they could throw the ball to Fournette on the screen or White and go, you know, first play. They get the ball, they throw the screen to Fournette for 18 yards, and you're like, you know, now you're, you know, it's just tough.
Really. No, I'm with you, Derek, on this one. I think give me Dak.
I'm taking Dak every time. I don't want him to have the ball.
Nobody wants any part of this dude.
No, nobody wants him. He's 45 years old, and we're acting like, I mean, he's the greatest player ever to play.
You're about to trust him this defense?
I'm just saying, I trust my best player, and that's what it is.
And Mike is your best
player. And I don't have, you're not stopping the run. You're not going
for
net on a
sweep. You got to stop against Philadelphia.
You're not going to go on a sweep. You're not going to, you know, it's going to be Diggs covering their best guy, Micah Parsons rushing, and I'll just take my chances. I mean, and if they score, I'll take my chances. They miss the extra point. I don't.
I mean, Xavier Rhodes is playing the game of his life.
It's going to be Joseph. I don't know. Is he even active?
No, he plays, yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll see.
Rhodes has got to be active for somebody.
Let me throw this question at you guys. Typically, successful playoff teams will do something a little different in the playoffs. You'll see something different about them. What's more likely to happen this weekend? Turpin is used on offense.
Ooh.
Gallup is used more downfield on some big plays. Or T.Y. has a phenomenal game, has the game of his life, and they use him a ton. What's more likely to happen?
T.Y.?
Yeah, I think any play that they had for Turpin, I mean, after the ball hit him in the face, like I don't know.
They're like, yeah, scrap that one.
I don't know.
But even then, like, has there been a successful play where Turpin has been on offense?
Yeah, couple. I mean,
but very,
the option play they ran against Tampa in Week 1, where Dak got a first down. He faked the option run, and it moved White, the linebacker, and he went up inside for a first down.
Average per rush.
Yeah,
5.6. That's it. With two carries.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
5.6?
Mm-hmm.
That leads the team?
He gets the corner on those Jets.
I mean, Pollard's like 5'3". I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, I'm saying I would have thought there were some other guys. Like, I would think CD, for example. He's had those runs where he's, you know.
I think so.
I would think his average would be a little bit higher.
No, I think I saw it.
Okay, I'm going to say something different here. We've thrown a lot of dirt on Gallup.
Yeah.
A lot of dirt. I'm saying they're going to go vertical game with him. I think this is going to be one of those games where you're going to finally see a smile inside that helmet, you know, with the ball going down the field and him catching the ball. I don't think they're going to use Turpin. If they use Turpin, it will be in some kind of – we haven't seen the fake anything yet or the throwback, you know. I mean, Bones has got something that's going to – television games like this, the coordinators always have something. They're going to Gallup. This is the time for Michael Gallup to bury everything that everybody said negatively about him this year. In this game, that's if they're going to do something, it's going to be a downfield shot. Couple of them, I'm going to say.
Do you expect that if Biotis starts, do you expect McGovern to be the left guard?
Yeah, I do. I expect everybody to go back to their spots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I just need that right tackle to show up.
Why are you
up.
Saying it like? Well, something different.
You say, you think something?
Like, no.
Are you implying something?
Right. No, I'm not implying it. Tyler Smith said in the locker room yesterday that he doesn't know where he's going to play. And I don't know if he's just being coy as a rookie. I don't know if he's doing that. But he's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be playing guard or tackle.
Is that because they don't know about Biotis yet? Like, they don't know for sure if he's going to be playing,
maybe.
Right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the setup is going to be.
I look at it like this.
The fact that he was full yesterday, practice, I would say that they're probably going
to. Right.
And just talking to folks, they're getting him ready to play.
If Tyler stays at guard, that means that Peters is still at left tackle.
Yeah.
That I don't know how that could be the scenario that they think is the best option for this offensive line.
No, probably not. I'm just not sure what they're going to do. And when you say different packages, it makes me think, what if there's something for McGovern as a lead blocker? You know, what if it's something like that?
If you get in a situation where you're trying to get short yardage, goal line, maybe that happens. But I think on other plays, he should be in there guard.
Yeah, I think
right?
it should be Biotis and McGovern. McGovern has played a lot against the Bucs because last year when Martin
played opening day 2 years ago,
so he's played some, and I don't think you're going to have that you know, scared to do anything in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to be able to move the ball some way in the middle, you know.
Let me throw this one other question to you. It's kind of on the same vein as the last question, but before we go to break, somebody mentioned a little earlier in the show that you just need that one play, you need that one game from this vet. They got a lot of guys like that are a little long in the tooth, and if you're going to need a game, this might be the game. Which one is more likely to have that kind of game of these guys? Tyron Smith, T.Y. Hilton, Xavier Rhodes, or Anthony Barr?
I would put Anthony Barr fourth on that list, unless the ball's going right at him.
Yeah.
I would say that probably from what I've seen so far from Tyron Smith, I would probably put him second on that list. Xavier Rhodes third, T.Y. Hilton first.
I like that.
I'm sorry, I jumped around all over the place.
No, we got you. You said T.Y., Tyron, Xavier, and Anthony Barr.
Yeah. I think the thing with Anthony Barr, that having Van Der Esch back really helps Clark, in my opinion, because Clark needs him telling him, be ready for this, be ready. This is that run play over here. Be ready, be ready. And, you know, you need that. We saw it last week, the first touchdown the Commanders have. If Van Der Esch is there, he is not going to let Terry McLaurin run across the field untouched. Clark did. Van Der Esch is going to step up and smash a crosser on that play. That play is not going to happen with him standing there.
You know who I think is another X factor? I don't know how old he is, but he's a veteran, is Brian Anger's got to do a
good job. Well, I'm glad you said that.
He's got to do a good job because it's not just him. Overton, let's be clear about this one.
Yeah.
The missed extra point
was on him. Yeah.
The block punt. But also when he's dropped the snap.
Yeah.
I mean,
the drop snap.
He should have caught it.
But it was wide.
I mean, he's having to move. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's when your eyes start coming off the ball because if they are rushing from the right and from his right side, now he's kind of thinking about that because now you're kicking right into the teeth of it. So the balls need to be where it needs to be. So Overton, but really Anger. If you can pin them back and play some field position with them, and I mean, Tom Brady can drive 99. I'm sure he can. But put some pressure on him having to stand in the end zone. It's a little bit different. You check down a lot quicker. You can get off the field. Anger and the special teams, I think, is going to be big.
I'd like to see it where Dallas can find ways to make them have to run the football or try to run. I mean, make them prove to you that, they haven't run it all year. They ran it on you in week one. But since then, it's been – you know, White has been better than Fournette when you watch, but I mean, that's to me. If you pin them back, at least they're going to have to use some plays to try and maybe create some distance there for
you. I think Hankins is the big. You asked it the other day, which guy coming back? To me, it's Hankins more than Biotish. That's close, but and Van Der Esch. But I think Hankins. I think that's an element we haven't seen against the Buccaneers, and I think that it'll be a little bit different there within there.
They're banged up at center too. Yep. I mean, let that big man eat inside.
Yeah. With Van Der Esch behind him.
Yep. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, I'm going to ask a simple yet very complex question. Have you lost faith in Dak? We'll do that when we come right back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Thanks for giving us a warning.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Come out to the Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium for a free wild card watch party on Monday, January 16th. Cheer on the boys alongside Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders Rowdy while enjoying lawn games, food trucks, music, and more. Gates open at 5:30, kickoff 7:15. For more information, visit DallasCowboys.com/2022playoffs.
Welcome back. Final segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. I led off with this as we were heading into the break. It is a question that I think has been asked around every show, national and local this week. And Chuck Negron asks it on Twitter. Have you guys lost faith in Dak?
I haven't lost faith, but there's a side of me that when I kind of looked at the coaches would be evaluated in 2022, and then you would evaluate Dak in 2023, and then by 2024 you needed to figure out if you needed to use a draft pick on a quarterback and or were you going to extend this guy. The thing that bothers me the most is just the decision making. That it's just sometimes you make those throws and you're like, you as a quarterback, you can't. You just can't. So I lost faith in his decision making. That's where sometimes the decisions are brilliant and you're just like, wow, what a great play. And other times you're like, you can't throw that ball. You can't throw that ball. And I don't know if you could get that out of him. I really, really don't, because he's always, I've said this before, he's always going to live to fight to keep the play going. You know, that's his belief. That's the way he's played. That's the way he leads his life. You know, he's never told he could pass. He, you know, his college coaches, they didn't think he practiced well. He didn't throw the ball well. I mean, he's developed along the way, but what he hasn't developed is the decision making. And I think that's the thing that I've lost faith in.
I haven't lost more faith in him. I mean, I've always been somewhat critical of him at times, but as just standing in the pocket and throwing, it's not his thing. It's not his game. He gets confused with coverages and stuff like that. He's got to go be a football player that plays quarterback, not a quarterback playing football. If he's a football player and he's running around and he does a little GOMB every now and again and say, get off me,
yeah,
go make some plays. Yeah. That guy's got to win the game. That guy that's flipping over Seattle to go get those extra yards to win his playoff game, that's the guy. Be fearless and go out there and play. I haven't lost faith in that. They've got to put him in the right situations, but I think he can go win games in the playoffs. I believe that still.
Yeah, I think so too. He can win games for you. Again, he does need the supporting cast. He does need the O-line to be working. He does need the running game to be working. He does need those receivers that can catch passes. So it's a tough one, because where were you rating Dak to begin with? And it's one of those like, okay, it is what it is. You can't keep thinking that he's going to become that Aaron Rodgers, that Tom Brady, that Mahomes. He is what it is. And if that's the quarterback you decide to have, then you got to make sure you give him the support that he needs. You got to make sure you position him in the right position, like call the right place for him. Try to cater to him. Have the tight ends working for him, because he seems to be really, really good with the tight ends. So it's just a tough one. But at the end of the day, I do think that he can be the type of quarterback that can win games for you. He has the right mentality.
Yeah, the fact that we're all kind of – I mean, I think Nick was far more positive than I know I was about it. But the thing about it, we're all struggling with that right now. We're all struggling with, you know, you want to believe. You want to believe.
Well, and the thing is, there's so much to love from him,
him. There's no question. I don't want this to be one of those games where it ends up and then all of a sudden the turnovers are the factor in the game and he has to stand up there and Nick for the eighth straight week ask him, the turnovers, can you address what happened with, you know, and then he has to, you know, I've got to be better. Mm-hmm. I've got to be better. You know, and we're all kind of like, we're losing faith on, I got to be better. You know, that's where Amber's right. You want to just love the player because of where his background and what he's where he's come from and what he's overcome and all that. You want to.
You want to love the player. You want to love the player. Right?
And the reason why you're in the playoffs back to back is because the guy, you know, if he had half the interceptions, if he had half, we'd be talking about what a great year Dak Prescott had. Mm-hmm. You know, if you believe in analytics and numbers and all that, the numbers will overwhelm you. But the one number that really overwhelms you are the turnovers. You know, and a lot of that has to do with there's balls that bounce off people, the volleyball players we have sometimes. But there's a lot of it has decisions. You know, I mean, that throw against the Commanders last week on the outside was one of the worst throws. You can't make that throw. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that we all struggle with, I think, watching him play.
Got one more question for you. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also think there's some blame to be put on, like, Kellen Moore and the coaching because – and I'm not saying you can go through a whole season playing like how you were playing with Cooper Rush. At some point, you got to be aggressive and you got to go for it. But at the same time, how come, again, it's a bad comparison, but you were playing such a much
efficient,
cleaner game.
Efficient, yeah.
More cleaner game, yeah. Being more, okay, quote unquote, conservative, but it was kind of working. You were moving the chains and doing, again, I just forgot for a moment. A lot of it had to be because of the defense and what they were doing for right. you at the same time. So right. that's the only reason it
but
worked.
But that's to your point. You need people around him, not only the offensive players, yeah. but the defensive players. Were, you know, I mean, that you got to have that kind of help.
But just there's some type of game that you can construct that it works better for a guy like Dak that is more aggressive than what you got with Cooper Rush, but also kind of keep it tighter and cleaner. For you.
Yep. All right, one more question before we get our predictions for the game. Andre Britton says, who outside of Dak do you think needs to play as the best version of themselves for the Cowboys to be successful this weekend?
Oh, well, the best version of themselves would be Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, if he could be the best version of himself, I think that would be great. I mean, because the best version for him, like ever or like this season?
No, I'm saying like if you're going to get one guy that's going to have who is that guy?
Give me Zeke because not only is he running the ball, he's being efficient and he's being physical, but he's taking it to their ass. That's what he's doing, and he's eating. He's eating every play. He's going looking right at that ship, and he's eating, and he keeps doing that. Yeah, give me that guy.
Give me Hall of Fame Tyron Smith.
Okay,
you know, on that right side because I know that right guard. I know that right guard will do his job against Vita Vea the best he can, but he's going to need 77 to slam that guy in that number 50 in the ribs a couple of times and get him over to move him, and then he can go.
Let's go.
Give me Hall of Fame 77 at right tackle.
Well, let's take it to defense. Give me Micah Parsons and be the best version of himself. Last couple of games, there are times that you can see he's kind of off his game, like not playing at the intensity that he usually plays in and sometimes kind of feeling a little lost at times. So typically when you got a game where Micah Parsons is just killing it, you tend to win that game.
Not only that, but I'll say this, and I agree with you, Amber. I would have said Micah Parsons, but one thing that we haven't seen as much here down the stretch is earlier in the season, there'd be times in games when you most need a big defensive play, and he just showed up.
Yeah.
That's what they need this week. They need, if you're going to get to that scenario where it's that final drive and you got to make a stop, I need Micah Parsons to be Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Micah Parsons is so disruptive that every play, like Tom is as he's getting up off the ground, he's slamming the ball. Mm-hmm. He's looking at his left tackle like, what are you doing?
That's a possibility like, with
that's
Donovan,
what you need.
That's possibility
yeah, that's
with Donovan Smith
that's
playing over
need.
There.
They
Absolutely.
Need Micah Parsons to be Micah Parsons this weekend. And I think if he can do that, I think this might be a blowout type game if Micah Parsons can be a Micah Parsons
you,
that we
you
know.
You know, under the radar players like that, you know, you want everyone to play their best game. And the obvious answer, like when you
Dak.
Ask Dak, I mean,
and that's why I said other than Dak, other than Dak.
But you know, how about a guy like Leighton Vander Esch?
Yeah,
we've seen his best game.
Yeah,
his best games have been you know 3 or 4 years ago. But if he can come back and play. Well, to that level.
How about Minnesota Viking Xavier Rhodes?
Okay.
Whenever we'll take that.
When, you know, whenever he was whatever game that Xavier Rhodes played
we'll that all pro
was,
season
where he was a menace.
Take Barr with you then.
Yeah, exactly. But I know that one guy's gonna have to play. Yeah.
I'll tell you a story on the locker room about Xavier Rhodes from yesterday I thought was interesting. So, you know, his first week here, first couple days, he's talking to the media, you know, and had long conversation and it was good. And then he kind of sees that Jayron Kearse, everyone's gathering around Jayron Kearse, making an announcement. that he is the 2022 season good guy award. And that's something given from the media to the players, guys.
Well deserved.
Great interviewer.
That are not only accessible, but gives well thought answers, is you know, accountable, and not afraid to say some things. And so he was getting that award and all that. Well, here comes Xavier Rhodes, who knew him from a couple of years ago at Minnesota, and he comes in and breaks the whole thing up, and he says, "Wait, is he winning an award?" Yeah. Just takes his water bottle and just dumps it all on his head, all on his phone, all on the next guy next to him, his clothes and phone, and all over Clarence Hill, which was funny. And so all of that.
Clarence was looking the other way.
Yeah, Clarence wasn't even paying attention to the water.
He's got the microphone.
Clarence made the announcement, so he was actually doing that.
He was paying attention.
Yeah, for that one. But but not on Media Mash or anything like that. But it's just funny how he's been here like 6 hours, and he's already like dumping water on people. So whatever. I mean, hopefully he's comfortable. He's back to his you know, he's feeling good about playing and all that. So it'll be fun to see him.
All right, it is time. Predictions. Let me say real quick, and usually I wait till last, but it's kind of hard. Nick, you saw me this morning. You walked in. It's like it's kind of hard for you not to pick Cowboys.
You're picking Cowboys.
So let's just say, okay, my pick, Cowboys. I actually think the Cowboys win this weekend. Now let's get to the other predictions. Nick, let's start with you.
I have a hard time
flip
with this.
Flopper.
I have a hard time with this. I've never seen them win a game in the road. I've never seen them beat in the playoffs, and I've never seen them beat Tom Brady, and I've never seen all these things. And I'm letting all of that. I'm letting Quincy Carter's struggles and Romo's struggles and all of them, Wade Phillips, Garrett, all of that affect me here. And that's not really fair to them. The catch, all of these things.
Yeah.
It's not their burden. What it is this is a better football team than the Bucs have shown this year. They've been better. We've seen them play great. We've seen them play bad, but we've seen them play great a little bit more. I'm going to go with Dallas to win this game. 29-20. I am not making it a one possession game because I don't think that's good for the Cowboys. So to win it, they're going to have to be on them all game and hold on for dear life.
Amber.
Well, you know, I've always had this battle of like my heart and my logic, what my head says. But I'm going to go with my heart. I just, even though I can see every single possible scenario happening this weekend, I still think that they typically come back better after a loss. They bounce back and they're focused and they're going to go out there, and some magic tends to happen at different times when you get into the playoffs. You can expect the unexpected at times. So I think that they're going to bring it and they're going to end up winning 23-21. That's what I had in my head. A closer game is going to be one of those where we're just kind of sweating. But yeah, Dallas wins.
Amber's going to get her wish. Micah Parsons is going to go after Donovan Smith in this game. That's where this game can hinge very well. Knocking Brady down, the grass stain game. That's all I talk about all the time. Dallas 27, Tampa Bay 23.
All right, guys, that is a wrap. We will not be on the air Monday because a lot of us will be in Tampa getting ready for Cowboys versus
I'll be Bucks. On air. You can listen to 105.3 The Fan.
Absolutely, you can listen to
105.3
The Fan.
Yeah, by there you go.
Good show.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You check that out. You also got a pregame show. What time
we
is your
do.
Pregame show? Sorry.
4 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay, 4 o'clock. Yeah. All right, so long you guys day. Check that out. We'll be back on Tuesday. Hopefully, we will be talking about a continuation of the playoffs. That would be very exciting. Either way, we will be back on Tuesday. We'll tell you what went right and wrong for the Cowboys and break it all down for you. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?